Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Amin, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. I'm Mikalia. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
So happy to have you here. I've been wanting to talk to you for some time since you actually came out with the Wildflowers duet. So I'm very excited to chat with you today. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a very boring person.
That's
okay. I am a huge reader, which is why I originally wanted to get into writing. And I have three dogs, which is as crazy as it sounds. But yeah, I'm someone that has just always loved to write. And I was very lucky to just, this is what I wanted to do. And I went for it.
Yes. So talk to us about your journey to transitioning from reader to writer and to now where you are.
I feel like I had a very unusual journey in the sense that I was very young. I started writing what would become my first book when I was 13. And I finished it when I was 15. And that was kind of anything that I had written up to that point, I had never been able to finish. And that opened my eyes to, hey, I can write a book. It took me 2 years, but I can write a book. It might not be any good, but I can do it. And I loved it. And originally, I had planned on going to college for interior design, but I quickly realized that's not going to make me happy. So when I graduated high school, I said to myself, I have a year to make a go of this, to get picked up by an agent, whatever it may be. And that summer, I was actually gifted a Kindle by my lovely art teacher, who I was an assistant for during my senior year. And that was my first introduction into indie authors and to self-publishing and all of that. And I was like, these books are so good. That's primarily all I was reading. And I actually, about end of September, October, after I had graduated high school, I ended up contracting sepsis and almost died. So that was very traumatic, but it is the thing that my dad said to me, well, why don't you try self-publishing? All of this happened. I almost died. It's very scary. And he was he was the one that was just try it. And even though my early books were not very good, I can't regret any of that because without that experience, I would have never, I don't think, self-published. And that's been one of the best journeys of my life.
So that's exciting. So you've been writing for some time, just trying to hone in your craft. And so what was what you work with, just practicing just writing for books and exploring different stories to figure out what your craft looks like now than when you got started? What was that journey of building that craft?
Yeah, I feel like it's just one of those things. I say now, I learn with every single book. My writing gets better. I learn more. I try different things. And sometimes it's I don't even want to say that it's necessarily you grow into your voice. I think your voice as an author changes as you grow as a person. I'm not going to think the same way and approach writing the same way at 30, like I am now, that I would have at 20. And so I feel like it would be interesting even for me to go back and read some of my more earlier books compared to now. I will say, though, I do think it was easier to write prior. It's the less you know,
yeah,
the less constraints you have.
Yeah.
And the more you learn, it kind of boxes you in a little bit more.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it's the less you know, you have freedom to be it's just when you start writing, you don't have deadlines. You're yes, do this all the time. And this is great. And this is when the story needs me. And there's
just renouncing now that there's like no audience to have a critique around it or like good or bad. It's just like, it's just for you. And then seeing it to the world is like
yes, absolutely.
About this.
And it sets you up to a whole new world of judgment, and you have to learn to grow a thick skin. And one thing that I have always told myself, I don't like every single book that I read. So I can't possibly expect that every reader out there is going to like everything that I write. Yeah. And that helps a lot. And I think it makes you step back from and be a little bit more, not take it so personally.
Yeah. So let's talk about The Boys, which is a series. It's a 6-book series. The latest one is Rule Breakers Follow the Bardas. But let's talk about the series where it started. Are they standalone? Like, can you read them? I did read them out of order, and it's totally fine.
I very much wanted them to be able to just be read however a reader might want, because I completely understand that some tropes are some people's favorites and some they don't like at all. I the same way as a reader. But yeah, so Bad Boys Break Hearts, the first book, is technically a spinoff from my Willow Creek series. It is those characters. Mason is the son. So that's kind of how it started. No, it's one of those things you very much do not have to read the Willow Creek series. It's entirely its own thing. And I thought that it was just going to be a standalone.
Yeah.
And I very quickly, in the early stages, I don't know if I'd even started writing yet. I might have only been working on my Pinterest board. And I fell in love with Mason's best friend, Cole. And I was like, oh no, I already love this guy. This does not bode well for me when I start writing. I'm going to want to write more. And then, so then I was like, well, it's just going to be 2 books. And we're now at book 6. So that's how that happens.
Yeah.
But it's been, I tell people the boy series is my happy place. I like to write emotional books, but they're very draining. So when I want something that's more light, I love to return to that world and revisit those characters.
Yes. And so Rule Breakers Follow the Bardas is a marriage convenience, single guy, just angsty, but not too angsty. It's just a regular amount of angst that keeps you guessing, keeps you going. They don't like each other, and they're really trying to figure out why they don't like each other, but they got married. So
yeah.
Because he asked for a favor. I was like, if someone asked me to get married, like, I'm not sure we're going to do that, but I feel for the heroine. Did you like, I guess we're going to get married.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't sure how to approach that whole thing, but I think it's like, even though they hate each other now, like they have so much history that it was like, I feel like from Rosie's perspective, she was like, she didn't necessarily want to do it, but she was like, if he's coming to me and asking me to do this, then this is serious and I need to do it.
Yeah. So we understand, like, the hero comes in with some baggage and some stuff, and it's like the reason why he wants to get married. And then we just go through the whole period of the first year of marriage of them while going to college, while graduating and playing hockey and having a child. It's definitely a really engaging book that keeps the page turning, just because you want to know what Bear and Rosie's life is going to look like at the end. So.
Yeah, and they had a lot to navigate between her dad and him having this unexpected child. And he's at that point in his life, he doesn't have the best image. And he knows that, and he's got to step up to the plate, and he wants to step up. And I think that was like one of the really fun things about writing Dare's character is he just really surprised me in a lot of ways, because he starts out very angry and very immature. And I feel like having his son just kind of puts him where he was always meant to be in life. And he loves being a dad. I just, like, in my head, I'm like, if Derek could convince Rosie to have 10 kids, he could do whatever he could. And he'd be like, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I'm home with the kids. You can go work. Like, I've got this.
Yeah.
Rosie can have 10 kids, though.
I'm like, nobody, you're not giving birth. You're the so awesome. And so we can read them out of order, and it's totally fine. It's not just, there's no problem. You can pick and choose and go where you feel like for the vibes. And I think this is a great happy place in the race to go for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like Rule Breakers especially is a little bit more separate because it's a little bit more focused on Darren yeah. Rosie than like their friendships and stuff. So I feel like it's a good place to start, honestly, in the series.
Yeah. So it's sort of the Wildfire duet because that's actually what you were broke out, Amisa broke out in the indie recently. So talk to me about that duet. What is it all about? Why should we just broke out after finishing up some of the boys, or maybe they can hear it all, Wildflowers, and then duet, and then the boys, and come back.
Yes, the Wildflower duet is like the complete opposite of the boys series in the sense that it is a very deeply emotional duet, and there is a lot of going on, and I won't, like, triggers are listed in the book, so if anybody has triggers, they can always check those out. But it's just a journey, I feel like, for Salem and Sayre that spans several years. And they deal with a lot of things that are very deep and people can relate to. And yeah, I don't know. It was just, when I was in that world, I was so deeply in their world. And even though it is a very emotional story, I think there is a lightness to it at times too. And I love the town. I love a lot of it. It's a small town vibes. And it's just like, it's in a way, I feel like it's just kind of, at least for me, it's kind of cozy. I would love to go back and explore more characters in that world at some point.
Oh my gosh, that would be exciting. I know, it's adding more work to you. It's like, I'd run a workflow.
No, I always think to myself, like, I'm like, I have all of these like new ideas for new characters that I don't have a world established for or anything. And then like also in the back of my brain, I'm like, oh, but this character that you mentioned and this character over here.
Yeah.
And then I've got the boys series that at this point feels like it's never ending because every book that I add, I fall in love with other side characters. And I'm like, oh, but I want to know their story.
Yes. Oh. And then we have 11-11, which is like my favorite, which is younger Van. All that Vernon. She actually goes on a date with the dad.
And that was, people had been asking me for quite a while, would I ever write a reverse age gap? And I was just like, never say never. Like, that's kind of like my answer to everything. I don't like to box myself in and say anything like completely off the table because I just like to let my muse do its thing. And one day I got the idea for Reed and Via. And I just think one of the main first things with her accidentally going on a date with his dad and how it would play out. And it just stuck with me. And I was like, I've got to write this story. And so now currently I'm working on I wouldn't call it a sequel, but it's like, I guess, a spinoff of with Via's sister and Reed's dad. So that's what I'm working on now. That'll be out in October. And I don't know. I might even like it more than 11-11.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you just made my day. Because 11-11 tends to be the number that I follow, like, follows me around, like, every day without fail. I'm like, 11-11, it's, like, the angel numbers, which is, literally is, like, so when I saw the book, I was like, well, I need to read the angel numbers. And then I was like, well, they probably have, like, my favorite trope, which is older villain, younger man.
There's not a lot of them, because, like, when I first got the idea for that book, I knew it was going to be a good long while before I was able to write it. And so I was like, well, let me try to find some books with that trope to read. And there just weren't many. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, I need to update. Thank you for reminding me. I need to add this to a list. So awesome. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I know a lot of authors will like read kind of like completely separate from what they write.
Yeah.
But for me, contemporary romance is my love. And that's what I like to read. It's what I like to write. And I did back in the day, I was a way more into paranormal fantasy romance. And I don't know. It's like the past couple of years, I usually read like 2 to 3 fantasy paranormal a year, but I would eventually love to write a paranormal fantasy book again. That's why I started out writing. And I've since unpublished those, but I think it would be fun to go back to my roots and writing when I was very young, see how I would write it now.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited for that. So I know you have no time to do them all, but, you know, that can be a priority.
Yes. I need to just, like, duplicate myself. Yes. I used to be able to write so much faster back in the day, and now I'm like, yeah, I think I can in my head about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, now you just have all these responsibilities. You have 3 dogs that you need to be a stage mom and take care of them, and they're probably, like, high demand.
Oh, yes. Very high demand. They're little dogs, and they are the bosses.
Yeah. So it is all good. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up after reading some of your Bucklist and Brownlist, stuff like that? And
let me see if I can bring up my Goodreads.
Yes.
I've had 2 small, like, reading slumps this year. So I think right off the top of my head, one of, like, the recent books I really read and loved was Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez.
Yep.
And I had put off reading that book because I knew that it dealt with kidney transplant, and I have a kidney transplant myself. Oh, and I was like, this might be too much for me. I might, like, cry through the whole book. But it was incredible, and it is probably any book that I have read that has covered that topic, this is the one that I feel like handled it the most true to what it's like. And so that definitely did make it emotional for me to read, but it was a beautiful story. I absolutely loved it. That, and also a funny story. Is it funny story? Is that what it's called? Emily Henry?
Yep. Funny story. Yeah.
Yes. That one is one that when I finish it, I'm still thinking about those characters. And I finished it, like, back at the beginning of May.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I really love funny story. I feel like I can identify with some of the hero's issues, the heroine's issue, older. Like, it's a really good depiction of trauma and just the parent abandonment and all the fun stuff that comes with it. And it was, like, such a delight to see that other people can get it properly after. And Yours Truly is great. It's a great book. Like, it's just a fun, great book that's deep and still, like, a long poem. And there's still, like, this swoony love story between two.
Yeah, I feel like Abby Jimenez, like, handles so well these serious topics across a more rom-com vibe. Like, I love that because it just makes it, like, easier to read.
Yeah. So awesome. Tell us where you can find Ally.
I have a website, and then I have Instagram. I'm the most active on Instagram. I have a Facebook group. It's called Macalia's Minions. I've been a little bit absent from my group lately because I've been writing, but that's another good place to find me. And yeah, I have a Facebook page, newsletter, all of that.
Awesome. Thank you, Macalia, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.